And as we are coming on today, the president, I think, is just getting finished. I mean, he's going on another one of his rambling speeches at Davos after gracing us yesterday with a rambling speech at the press office or the press room at the White House. Davos, you were mentioning, for people, first of all, for people who aren't familiar with Davos and everything, what is it? The World Economic Conference, is that right?
Yeah, and it's really become a platform for many of the world leaders to interact, to share ideas, for the world democracies primarily, to build stronger alliances over economic but also over security conversations. So it has been a very important forum historically. And, of course, this is like, you know, you've got a bull in a china shop when Donald Trump shows up, much more so than in his first term. His interest is in wrecking.
Well, and I listened to a little bit of his speech this morning, and it's very, very hard. He speaks in such a monotone, and he rambles off on these just ridiculous tangents that it's just hard. I understand why he falls asleep. I mean, I fall asleep trying to listen to him.
Yeah.
It's just boring as can be.
Yeah. The problem is he has people under him now in this administration, unlike the first administration, who are actually architects of a lot of his terrible ideas. And so they're rushing to implement them.
But this speech was just what I heard of it this morning was just the same. I mean, it was bragging, talking about how lousy Joe Biden was and how great the economy is under him.
Yeah.
Like, that's... nobody else there cares about. And then he goes into the xenophobia stuff.
Yes.
That, you know, you all have ruined your countries by letting these people in. And that's what you get.
Never have let the Drumpfs in, I will say that, back at the first part of the 20th century.
Yeah. You were mentioning, though, the speech yesterday by a Canadian Prime Minister.
Yeah, and this was important for me because I've been thinking about, before I come here, I go through the doom scrolling. And it's really horrifying what so many things horrible are going on at the same time with this administration, domestically and internationally, that it becomes a blur. It becomes normalized. I don't feel the pain as acutely as I did a year ago.
Right.
And of course, I mean, I'll get to the international, but Minneapolis, a growing lawless and brutal occupation epitomized by the murder of Renee Good, shot multiple times through a car window when she dropped her kids off at school. This is any of us.
Well, and we have reached a point where, and we've been there for a long time, let's be honest, where there is a segment of the population that, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? I believe you.
Yes.
How do you look at that video?
Yes, and see anything but it was an assassination.
And their conclusive one that they put out, that, okay, this proves that we're right, he gets bumped.
Yeah.
He gets bumped.
And they were talking about all this injury he had. He went to the emergency room, and he didn't spend the night. I mean, he was checked out.
He was bumped because they
were yelling conflicting orders at her to get out of there, to come in. Who wouldn't be panicked?
She was clearly turning the wheel away from them.
Yes.
And all of this stuff about she accelerated, she was at a dead stop. Yeah. Going from a dead stop to one is accelerating. You put yourself in front of a car.
And she was going so slowly, one step he would have been.
So anyway, my point is, yes. All of us can see that. All of us can see that's what happened. And 35% of us say nope.
I know. They bought the gaslighting. They want to believe so much. They bought this gaslighting. And, of course, then the federal government is barring state and local officials from investigating, which is such a violation of the police powers under the Constitution.
Right.
Of that's the authority of state and local government primarily, not the feds.
But you know better than I. But it's going to be an interesting, because Minnesota is going to do a state investigation.
Yep.
My guess is they are going to put out an arrest warrant.
Yep.
And I don't know what happens then.
I know it'll be a standoff. Well,
yeah. Well, and we're already talking about...
And then it'll only be the Insurrection Act.
And we're already talking about if they bring troops in, it's going to be a standoff.
So I thought, well, I could talk more about the Insurrection Act. No. I'm going to stay focused on these things that should be terrifying us all, including conservatives. They really should be. And, of course, we have the Justice Department now is issuing subpoenas against Governor Waltz and... Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. They're doing this to this is all that weaponization of the Justice Department, of course, to go after, to pretend like there's any kind of claim of wrongdoing, yeah. And then you just take it to the wall. And then you have the Treasury Secretary accusing the Fed Chair Powell of politicizing the Federal Reserve because Powell attended the Supreme Court arguments yesterday having to do with, you know, the firing of one of the Board of Governors.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're claiming that he is corrupt and they're...
No, it's the same thing every day.
Yeah.
A different story, same tune every day.
Yep.
Every day.
Yeah. And then, of course, the wrap-up is the international stuff right now, and that ties us back to Davos. Trump, a week ago in an interview with the New York Times, said no laws can limit him when he's commander-in-chief. His power, and this is the scary part.
No, not his power, his morality. I'm sorry.
His power is limited only by his own morality. Yeah, that was one of the most horrific things I've ever heard. My own mind. It's the only thing that can stop me. I mean, he even phrases it like a thug.
He has stopped trying to pretend anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't even pretend.
He knows he's in his last term.
Yeah.
He knows that Congress is cowed.
Yes, and the Supreme Court has basically given him a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Well, we'll see. Yep. We'll see.
The courts are
the last bastion.
Being a real, really bellicose about Greenland. I won't go into details there.
Right.
Bellicose about Venezuela, eyeing other countries. You've got Mexico trying to placate him. European powers trying to placate him, and he sees that just as weakness, that that just empowers him. But the speech that really struck me last night when I was reading it is by the new Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney. And he just had a really thoughtful, long speech about where international relations can go from here. You have on one hand Putin and on the other hand Trump. So you've got the superpowers under these, people who would just as soon destroy the rules-based order, which is what the world has relied on since World War II, and to the great benefit of the United States and Canada and other Western powers. But this is what he said. Would you mind if I go ahead and sort of summarize? Well, I'll try and summarize. Yeah. It was great. Carney said he wanted to talk. What we're seeing right now in the world order is not a transition. It's a rupture. And we can't ever go back to what it was before. And the way it was before was that there was some falsehood beneath it because powerful actors could still basically, the United States could have terms that were a little better for it than other people. Countries like Canada were bought into this international order and sort of turned their eyes to, okay, our big powerful ally to the south is not really completely respecting human rights, but, you know, you sort of or pursuing good ecological policies for the environment.
Right.
But, you knew it was partly false, as he said, that the strong would exempt themselves from inconvenient. But still, it was useful. And this American hegemony in particular, he said, helped provide public goods. We had open sea lanes, stable financial system, collective security, support for the framework for resolving disputes like the international courts. And so, but that bargain, he says, no longer works. So he said these middle countries like Canada, Australia, others, have power. They're not powerless, but their power is essentially by not pretending that the international order ever was perfect and that they could get it to work again and that they wanted to get it back again. Instead, he said, you know, we could come up with an alternative where the middle powers work collectively to reach their goals and essentially don't count on the powerful.
Right. Yes.
Just cut them out of the equation.
Right.
And as a consequence, he said, because in the past 2 decades, there were crises in finance, health, energy, geopolitics. So this extreme global integration was not working. And yet building fortresses is not going to work either. And that's not going to be a good way for countries to respond. So instead of just hunkering down and building up walls, he suggests that countries, instead of just being totally autonomous, looked increasingly... work together, diversify to hedge against this strange world that we're in now. And uh, He says sovereignty that was once grounded in rules, increasingly have it anchored in our ability to withstand pressure, and we could do that through collective investments in resilience, shared standards that reduce fragmentation, a values-based realism, in other words, that will be principled and pragmatic. Principled to these fundamental values of sovereignty and territorial integrity, prohibition on use of force except when consistent with the UN Charter, respect for human rights. But progress is often incremental, and that's where you would be pragmatic. Interests may diverge. Not every partner will share the same value. But we can engage broadly, strategically, with open eyes, take on the world actively as it is. So Canada is prioritizing this broad engagement. Yeah. And then he lists what Canada has done in the last 6 months because of Donald Trump. Well, right. He doesn't mention Trump's name
anymore. Well, everybody knows.
But things like, I just think it's really fascinating how he lays out very well, and so I encourage people to read this speech if they're interested, everything that Canada is doing to build itself a resilience and strength, and inviting now other countries to join it.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question that's what's going to happen. Peter is on the line, so we need to throw on the headphones.
Okay.
Give us just a second. Go ahead.
Sorry, couldn't avoid adding my voice.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Nancy mentioned Putin and the ending the world order.
Yeah.
But I think Trump is doing all these things because he's kind of nutty and he's got the people telling him what to do who are politically nutty, maybe not as nutty psychologically. But if you looked at it the way a detective would look at a murder and say, who benefits?
Yeah.
Right? Well, let's look at what he's ultimately doing. Weakening the U.S., savaging NATO and our other alliances, driving our economy nuts, taking control of Greenland, which would result in basically, if you look at the map, only Russia and the U.S. significantly fronting on the Arctic Circle.
Yep.
Freezing out NATO, Denmark has a little front on it.
Yep.
Destroying our scientific and educational strengths.
Yep.
Making our disunity worse than before. And sort of regularizing, doing stuff like he's doing in Venezuela and threatens to do elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Ceasing to support Ukraine. That's exactly what Putin would instruct him to do if Putin could.
Yep, you are absolutely right.
So I think that's mostly coincidence, but what do you think?
You left out the part about where he put Putin on the Board of Peace.
Yes, right.
They can share the peace prize.
I noticed that.
Yeah, yeah, what do I think?
Yeah, but, well, Putin should get the next Nobel Prize after
Trump.
I think we elected a six-year-old child.
Who's best friends with the biggest bull. The two big bullies are now in league.
And who no longer feels constrained to pretend to be a grown-up. You didn't give me the Nobel Peace Prize, so I no longer have to worry about peace.
And he wouldn't work with Machado until she gave him the medal. So he can claim he now has. It is
so
just appalling.
So he could take that stupid photo with that big stupid grin holding somebody else's prize and saying, it's mine now.
Yeah,
everything's mine.
Mine. Yeah, and that is the infant.
So
what, Peter? What do you think the international community can do? They were able to weather and Biden restore some standing of the United States after the first administration of Donald Trump. Nobody's going to trust the United States now. So clearly, good-minded countries should
deal with the United States. You know, and we're seeing, I think you alluded to it with Canada, but we're seeing these countries look elsewhere for their defense stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, we were defending Canada. And if we didn't like what they were doing, we were in charge and basically we're dictating stuff.
Yeah.
The equipment they used to spy on the Russians or whatever was ours, and we knew how it worked. Now they're buying it from NATO, and we don't know how it works, and we're not involved in the process.
Yep.
How is that an improvement for our security?
Well, and in fact, you're absolutely right. All this talk about improving national security by seizing Greenland really guts national security because the severe damage to NATO. You're talking about Denmark has been a very staunch and long-term NATO ally for the United States. Their troops fought alongside Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that wasn't that long ago.
And died in the greatest numbers per capita.
Yes, yes. And here we are. You know, the short-term gain of this pander, whatever we would get. We have a base there. It now has like 150 people on it. So we're not even bumping up the number of troops that we have in the one base we have in the northern part.
Once again, it's not about security. It's about mine. Did you see the thing he posted, posting the American flag, him, J.D. Vance, and Marco Rubio, like, you know, soldiers at Iwo Jima, posting
so
the flag
offensive.
On Greece? It's so childish and offensive.
And it's so idiotically useless because we, you know, since 1921 or some such time, we've had treaties with Denmark.
Yep.
We have the right to have as many bases in Greenland as we want.
Yep.
We did
during World War II.
Right. And for a long time afterward, I think.
Yep. Well, we certainly, we had that defense treaty in 51 that specifically gave access to the United States for a period in the base that we currently have, a very important one during the Cold War to monitor Soviet expansion.
We have only one up there now. We had, I don't know, a dozen or maybe eight, but we had plenty of serious bases, and we decided the Danes and the Greenland folks were happy with us having them there.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't even threatening to cut these off or to renege on the treaty.
But there was
no threat.
From a real estate guy's point of view, we don't own it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Minerva. This caller just left a message. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. The caller monitored.
I can hang up and you take your next call.
Yeah. That's why I was asking. But he just left
a
message.
I just want to say what I said and get off. So
okay.
Bye. Love
Bye.
Show.
Bye.
His message was about this peace board.
Oh, yeah.
You got $1 billion? You could help decide the future of Gaza. All it costs you is $1 billion. Now,
who says that? Who even comes up with that as an idea?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
This would be a comedy routine just a few short years ago.
It would certainly be unthinkable. Who had the imagination to come up with this stuff?
Yeah. Well, maybe Stephen Miller.
Oh,
I don't
yes,
know. But yes, I
yes.
think for us as a country in our domestic affairs, we still have to be following the path of resistance and speaking out and not normalizing what's happening. In fact, I understand from someone who lives in Minneapolis that it's much worse on the ground for people in Minneapolis than what the mainstream media is reporting. It's like you are living now in a war zone. These ICE agents can come into your home without a warrant. They can they go into churches. They go into not just places of schools. They just grab people.
Yeah.
And Native Americans especially have been grabbed because they have darker skin. So golly, you're by then default dangerous. I don't know what to do there, but I am.
It's un-American.
Oh, yeah.
It's just flat out American. The scenes that we are seeing playing out on the streets of Minnesota are what we see in newsreels from other countries.
Yep.
This stuff doesn't happen, but now it does.
Nope,
now it does.
These are the stormtroopers.
Because of one man.
Because of one man.
And because of the complete spinelessness of the entire Congress.
Yes.
The Republican side of Congress.
And of his cabinet members, which
please.
He chose for that purpose. And,
and
of
once
the Supreme
again,
Court.
The spinelessness of the Senate letting those Bill Cassidy.
Yes.
Bill Cassidy, what did you think you were going to get with RFK Jr.?
Yeah.
And did you think that Donald Trump wouldn't stab you in the back when it came time for primary?
Yeah. Really?
What did you think?
That you have to be subservient constantly forever on every issue.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
This is not leadership at all. Everybody in those positions should be
Bill
removed.
Cassidy is, he'll either lose his primary or he'll step down.
Yeah.
And he will have neutered himself.
Yep.
You know,
yep. I bet Mitch McConnell is rueing that he didn't the day
yes.
that he didn't
yes.
that he blocked yes. the impeachment vote
it's,
on Donald
oh, there
Trump.
Are other remedies. Yeah, there were other remedies. He was
yep.
convicted 42 times, and now he's president.
Yeah. Yep, and now he's president. And no wonder other countries have to be rethinking their not just their strategic relationship with the United States, but with each other. And we're just going to be shut out. Canada already has its own. I mean, they've already made deals with China and Qatar. They're looking to build different kind of, not just bilateral, but with getting other, what they call middle countries, to sign on. And we're just going to, eventually the United States will be irrelevant.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, that won't happen yeah. because of the force of arms that the U.S. has.
And it won't happen because in 3 years we are going to do a U-turn.
Yeah.
We are.
But nobody should ever trust the United States again because a big chunk of our voters supported him, not a majority.
That's right.
But a big chunk.
Well, and they won't. They won't. Not like
so
they
have
the
to provide. It, so the old two trust superpowers framework from World War II. Yeah. That's now, as he says, it's not just a transition, but what we're seeing is a rupture. It's all going to be different internationally from now on.
You know, the guy who on this show called that first was Joe Roach when he was talking about the defense part.
Uh-huh.
The fact that everybody used to be able to rely on the nuclear umbrella. And
yes.
So all of these other countries didn't bother.
That's exactly right. They agreed not to pursue nuclear technologies for the benefit of the whole world because they were under a nuclear protection for the United States. Now, they could make it a lot more fraught, a lot more dangerous.
Now it's, who knows? It's open season on everything. None of the old norms.
Yep. And that's why I think Carney is trying to present a different path where countries can work. The first world democracies, excluding the United States, can work together to create a stable rule environment that isn't relying on the United States.
Right. And I assume what's going to happen on Greenland is that Trump will eventually sign some grand document and he'll hold this big press conference and he'll declare victory. And it'll go,
it'll go away. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I assume will happen.
That's what I hope. I mean, I'm not crazy about giving him any good press, but I don't want him to actually have boots on the ground.
No.
Carpet bombing villages?
In Greenland.
You're going to bring tanks in Greenland? These little fishing villages?
And come on. These are very white people, Nordic, Icelandic people that, the whole northern part of this country has relatives somewhere in that part of the world. As peaceful, in Canada. I mean, this whole thing about, Canada being the 51st state, which he has finally backed down from. But
That's what got Carney elected, actually. There was a real strong running. It wasn't there for a conservative.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what got
Carney elected, was that we need somebody to push back against Trump. We don't need our own Trump.
Well, and what Trump does is he interprets negotiation and compromise as weakness.
He does.
So, he is not going to stop this kind of stuff unless people do stand up.
Other people's negotiations and other people's every deal negotiated by every president before him was a lousy, horrible deal because they were all stupid. None of them knew how to make deals. He's the only deal maker ever to be president. That's it. And so his deals are great. His deals are the best.
This is a man that really should be in a institution.
We are at the last.
Anyway, we have a little bit. Let's talk about the state legislature.
Like I say, the state legislature started yesterday, and we will get into that a lot more in our last hour when we speak with Superintendent Ruiz, because I know there are some things that they are looking for in terms of funding. And
good.
I'm not sure about legislation, but we'll talk about that. It seems pretty clear that the compacts for doctors, that's going to go through.
Okay.
The Democrats sent out something. The budget, I don't think there's going to be a big fight over the budget. There's plenty of money this year. They're covering a lot of additional spending to make up for the lack of federal spending.
Yeah.
So
we've been in a really good position as a state.
Yeah, and I think
To help the least among us, the most vulnerable.
And there's really solid, I think, uniform agreement on that, at least among the Democrats. And so I think that stuff goes through pretty easily. A 30-day session, though.
That's true.
You know, it's just so easy for something to get snagged up that you think you've got the skids greased, and you think that, you know, everything's ready to go, and somebody out of the blue throws on an amendment or does something.
Yeah, and there's a wrench in the works.
Exactly.
And then all those greased skids.
So, yeah, this will be Governor Lujan Grisham's last session. And 30-day sessions are hard to get a lot done. I know she's going to be working real hard to get funding for universal child care.
Yeah.
She wants to make that her signature issue. I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, what we're basically doing is eliminating the cap that's now at 400% of the poverty level, which I think is $122,000, which isn't rich. I mean, you know, not anymore it isn't. So I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Well, probably given the poverty in the state, given that.
Yeah.
But there are a handful of really affluent people here, so that's what you're concerned about.
Yeah, and
the
big part of that, though, is not just making it accessible. It's making it available.
Yes.
Getting providers.
Yeah.
So another part of the bill was that you had to, if to qualify for this money, a child care center had to pay their employees a certain, I forget what it was.
Yeah.
I want to say $18 an hour. I think that's right.
And you think, I mean, these are people in care of your children.
Right, right.
You shouldn't be getting someone at the, you know, who's had no experience or training at all. And
they had to guarantee staying open 10 hours a day, which obviously.
Oh, good, yes.
Those are two big things for parents. So, yeah, I think that's good. Yeah. If they get that done, that'll be a positive.
So there are some positive things coming down the line potentially for the state of New Mexico.
Well, what they aren't going to do, the big fight over malpractice.
Yes, that's what I was. You don't think that's going to go through?
I don't.
You don't think 30 days is enough?
I don't think Joe Cervantes lets it go through again. It's just that simple.
Well, we'll have to be watching. And, you know, people can contact their state legislators.
They can.
And there's many ways of applying pressure. It doesn't have to be.
And for people who don't know, Joe Cervantes is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yep.
That bill has to get through Judiciary Committee to make it to the floor. And that's where it's always died in the past.
Yep. So if you know Joseph Cervantes or people close to him or aides, this is a time to. And if this issue is important to you, then please exercise your voice.
And all of the sessions, all of the committee meetings are available online, nmlegis.gov. And there is an opportunity ever since COVID. You don't have to drive all the way to Santa Fe if you want to testify on a bill during committee. You can do that online. Which I have mixed feelings about that, too. I think it's great that you don't have to drive, but it just loses all the power and impact
of the individual standing there.
It does. So, yeah. But you can do that. And most importantly, you can call your senator and your
representative,
because those are the ones you'll have more traction with than anybody else.
That's
are the
really
ones
true.
That you have the power of the vote over.
Yes,
so,
really important.
Yep.